Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I am Matt, your host. Today is September 26, 2015, and we're going to be here for the next 58 minutes, and I'm going to have a blast time doing it, too. We've got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm going to get right into it. Let me tell you some of the highlights that are going on for today's show. It's an action-packed show. This week's CHL segment will cover the use of force levels, mental alertness, and command presence, which is extremely important. Our special guest will be Dr. Mary Beth Ulrich, a doctor in political science from the U.S. Army War College, going over grassroots politics. And finally, I got John Ferguson in the studio today, co-owner of Blackjack Firearms, and he's going to be here in the studio doing a segment, and we're going to go over some product demos, and he's going to be telling us about the business, so that's going to be a good deal, too. I'll be reviewing products from Sentex Tactical Gear located in Temple that would make for excellent stocking stuffers and bug-out bag stuffers. In my gun demonstration segment, I'll be going over mag changes with an auto pistol. There's a couple of different ways to do it depending on your situation, so we'll go over that. And if we have time, I'll do a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot segment. I've been having a lot of people who tell me they like that segment, so if I have time to do it, we'll definitely do it. And of course, you'll be getting commentary from me, your host, all throughout the program. So I want you to sit back, strap yourself in, get pencil and paper ready to take a lot of notes. We've got a lot of things going on, some great people on the show, going to give out a lot of good information, and I don't want you to miss a lick. So get your pencils and paper ready. And with that, we're going to go right into the concealed carry segment. I'm going to cut the chatter so we make sure we have enough time for our interviews with John and Dr. Ulrich. Now, in case you don't know already, I am a certified instructor with the state of Texas to teach concealed carry classes. I've been doing it for years, and I've taught a lot of people. And I should mention, too, the phone numbers. If you're interested in calling up, have a question about any topics that we're talking about today, or you have questions for our guests, let me give you the numbers on how to contact us here. It's 254-773-1400. 254-773-1400. That gets you here right in the studio. Now, let me tell you something. If you want to get in and ask a question, you got to call up pretty quick. Otherwise, we'll run out of time. And this way, our operator here will take down some information as to what it's pertaining to, and we'll try and get you on the air and answer your questions. If you want to make contact with me via email, you can go to aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or just go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Now, like I was saying before, I'm a certified instructor for the state of Texas to teach concealed carry, and I've done many classes and taught many things. And what I want to go over today is the use of force levels, mental alertness, command presence. I cannot tell you how important it is to be mentally alert and have a presence of command. If you're walking around and you're looking like somebody can bonk you over the head and take over what you're doing, that's what's going to happen. But if you stand there tall, looking good, peacock feathers are out, you look like you know what you're doing, you sound like you know what you're doing, hey, people are going to think you know what you're doing. So why is this important? Mental alertness and command presence. Basically what I just said, if you're not aware and alert and have that presence, people will take advantage of you. Now, other organizations, we're going to be reading on this use of force levels a color code of different aspects of being prepared. And other organizations may have different color codes, but the colors all fall into the same topics. You can change the colors, but you can't change what they mean. You're either paying attention or you're not. It's based on an attitude of, I'm aware that bad things happen. I'm aware that bad things can happen to me. I'm aware that when bad things happen, they'll probably happen at the worst times. And finally, I'm aware that being better prepared and trained, I'm probably going to have less bad things happen to me or let them affect me not as much as they would if I wasn't prepared. So being prepared is better than not being prepared. So if your attitude is, it won't happen to me, well, then you're a fool, okay? It's going to happen to you sooner or later. To what degree, I don't know. But sooner or later, somehow, some way, shape, or form, something's going to happen. And the question is, how well will you be prepared? And you have been warned. So I'm going to read to you now from our student handbook what we teach in the class. This is one of the segments that are required. It's under the use of force and deadly force, and it's called use of force levels. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate that the color codes may be different with other people, but basically the category is the same in what they mean. So let's start with what we have here. Mental alertness, command presence. Condition white, the color white. Not aware of surroundings. Major mental issues that contribute to an incident. Denial. Won't happen to me. Famous last words, right? Complacency. Not alert to your surroundings. I cannot tell you how many times I tell my students there are three A's that I teach in my class. The first A is acknowledgement. Acknowledge there's a threat. If you don't even acknowledge there's a threat out there, I can't help you. Okay, so you got to acknowledge there's a threat. The second A, be aware of your surroundings. Keep your head up. Look around. Be observant. See what's going on. The third one is avoidance. After you've acknowledged there's a threat and you're aware of your surroundings and you see potential problems, get out of Dodge. Just leave the area if you can. So acknowledgement, awareness, avoidance. Let's go to condition yellow. Aware of your surroundings. You're paying attention. Your head's up, shoulders back, walking briskly. People say that person's got it. You know, they know where they're going. They know what they're doing. They're too alert. If I'm a bad guy, I'm not going to mess with them. And, you know, pretty much a lot of people, if you've got a spare tire in your car, you're probably aware of your surroundings and you're in condition yellow. If you bought some extra water for a bad day because you can't get to the supermarket, you're condition yellow. You're prepared. If you bought some extra food, you're prepared. If you got some extra batteries for your flashlight, you're condition yellow. You're prepared. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Condition orange, a heightened state of awareness. Pre-incident indicators, recognizing when something appears wrong through the use of the five senses. Circumstances known about the situation, verbal indicators, nonverbal indicators. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. We teach this in depth in our seminars as well. I'm very big on verbal indicators, nonverbal indicators, body language, all sorts of things, biorhythms of people. You watch them, you can start learning people, and then you can transpose those, what you've learned with the people that you know and other people, because a lot of people have the same characteristics. Now, here's a fact that they print up here. A gut feeling or a sixth sense is really based on what the senses have previously experienced combined with present stimulation. You're writing this down? Got your pencil and paper? Let's go to condition red. Focused on the problem. Anxiety. Autonomic nervous system kicks in and physiological changes cannot be controlled. Here's another fact. Anxiety is created because adrenaline is pumped into the circulatory system. This increases the body's need for more oxygen, which increases respiration and heart rate. As a result, heat is created and sweating begins as blood is diverted to the surface of the skin. Okay, so that's what's happening when you're focused on a problem, anxiety's kicking in. That's why you sweat. The last one here, condition black, is the one I do not want you to be in. White as well. I don't want you to be in condition white either. But black frustrates me. It's due to a lack, it's condition black, state of panic or hesitation, due to a lack of mental preparation and or response time. Due to a lack of mental preparation and or response time. That's why I tell everybody, get prepared, practice, do some training. Because if you don't practice, you're going to flounder and fail when it happens. Now, I want you to think about something. There's a good person, that's you. Then there's the bad person. The bad person wants to do harm to you. Let's think about what goes through that person's mind. There's a perception. The person's looking at you. They're checking you out. Are you a good mark or not? Analysis and evaluation. They formulate a plan. Then the memory motor response, the brain sends message to the body, and then they act upon it. And we show this chart in our class. We have a chart. And it says, showing the elements of a confrontation process. The aggressor thinks about what they're going to do and then physically does the act. The defender, the one who's getting done to, goes through a mental process and then has a physical reaction. Let me give you an example. You've got an individual leaning over a kiosk in a mall, his fat wallet sticking out, and the bad guy had noticed him with a lot of money in his cash doing a transaction from another time. So he's his mark. He sees him. The defender's not paying attention. He's too busy looking at another wallet in the kiosk box. The aggressor thinks about it, plans what he's going to do, makes his move, grabs the knife, sticks it in his kidney, grabs his wallet, runs off. And now the guy who just got his wallet stolen stands up briskly and goes, oh my gosh, what just happened? He feels the warm sensation of the blood trickling out of his side and then collapses to the floor. So he did not have much of response time because he was not prepared. So the defender will always be in a position of disadvantage unless they have a plan in place and recognize the pre-incident indicators and know what they mean. So the bottom line here, ladies and gentlemen, with this color code is be aware of your surroundings and be prepared. Do not be in condition black where it causes a state of panic and hesitation. If you want to expand on that more, you need to sign up for one of my classes. We have a class tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's a CHL class. It won't go in depth like we do in our seminars, but it's a good start, and we can get you signed up for another seminar as well. Okay, that's going to be it for the CHL segment. Let me go over a couple of promos here. We got a lot of things going on, and take down some notes. Sunday, like I just said, tomorrow at 2 p.m., I'm going to be doing the CHL class, and there's still spots available. So you can either call me up now, or you can go to the website at aaronsgunshop.com and go to the CHL page and sign up there. If you really want to learn the CHL class, this is a good class. It's no fluff, and we get down to the brass tacks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got something big going on here. On October 10th, it's going to be a very big show. So I want you to take notes. You don't want to miss this one. I'll be doing the show live at the Lone Star Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center on October 10th. So I've got a table there. I'm going to have a live remote going on. I'll be calling in the station. They'll be feeding that to you guys, but I'll be doing it live at the gun show. Not only that, but Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is celebrating the upcoming open carry law by producing a calendar which celebrates open carry in Texas. In that calendar will be beautiful women showing different methods of open carry. So support open carry in this radio program by purchasing 1, 2, 3, 4, half a dozen of those calendars. The cost is going to be $25 per calendar. And it'll make a great Christmas present for any gun enthusiast or a gag gift for any anti-gunner. They'll hate you for it, but that would be nice. Put a smile on your face, right? On top of that, the High Cap girls will be there to sign your calendar and talk to you. Special guests from the show will be Justin Noakes of HEB going over disaster preparedness and how HEB works hard to be up and running for the community in case of disaster. So that's going to be a great clover leaf of a show. And also at the gun show, but not during the show itself, will be C.J. Grisham. He'll be making a visit there probably 1 o'clock, 1:30 or so, to visit right there at the booth, at the location of the gun show. And as you know, C.J. Grisham founded the Open Carry Texas, is now running for Texas Senate. So he'll be there to answer questions. It'll be a good time. This is a show you don't want to miss, so make plans now to be there on that day. October 10th at the gun show. The show time will be the same, but you can get there early at the gun show and check things out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to go into our next segment here. And I've got a very special guest. I was so happy that I could get her on here. And I want to read to you her bio. I'm just going to read it the way it goes here because she's got so much stuff going on here. But I really wanted to talk to Dr. Ulrich because she's got a lot of history when it comes to the topic I want to talk about, and that's grassroots. So let me read to you now her bio. Mary Beth Ulrich Colonel, retired from the U.S. Air Force Reserve in 2014. Her last assignment was the Reserve Air Force attaché for the Russian Federation. Colonel Ulrich's active duty Air Force career spanned 15 years. She logged more than 1,900 hours in Strategic Air Command as a navigator, instructor navigator, and standardization and evaluation navigator on a KC-135Q refueling planes. Her last 9 years on active duty were spent earning a PhD in teaching political science to cadets at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. In 1999, she transferred her commission to the United States Air Force Reserve. She was assigned to the IMA to the Undersecretary of the Air Force for International Affairs, where she provided political military analysis to the United States Air Force senior leadership. She also served as an Air Force Academy admissions liaison officer since 1999. In 1999, she left the active Air Force to become the first woman ever hired as a permanent faculty member at the U.S. War College, Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania. At age 36, she was also the youngest faculty member. Within 7 years, she became the first woman and the youngest person to achieve the rank of full professor. She held the General Dwight D. Eisenhower Chair of National Security Studies from 2007 to 2010 and is currently the Professor of Government in the Department of National Security and Strategy. And we're going to bring her on now. Once I get my earmuffs on, we can talk to her. Dr. Ulrich, are you there?
I am.
Well, I'm so great to have you on the show. I'm excited to have you. I hope I didn't miss anything. I probably did because it's such a long resume here with so many.
That was too much.
Well, we're glad to have you on here. And, Doctor, I tell everybody on the show, and the audience pretty much knows, and I tell all my guests, I call the guest and I ask certain questions because there's no tricks here. I've got a certain topic I want to talk about. I write down some questions or I ask the guest to write the questions that they like to speak about. We discuss it so that we understand what we're doing and that we get full, thorough answers. So we're going to do the same thing here on this show today with you. And basically what it was, I wanted to talk to you about government and how the individual can actually get involved and actually make a change in the way things happen here in our country just by participating. Would you agree with that?
I do. That's a great cause.
Is there anything before we start with the questions that you might want to preface to get us in the mood or get us started in the proper direction as to where we're going here besides what I just said?
I think I know where you're trying to go, so let's go ahead and launch the question.
All right, here we go. Basically, we're saying if we're going to talk to somebody, how well informed are you with regard to local, state, and national affairs? And do you consult reliable, objective sources for your news? So if you were to ask that, what kind of suggestions would you give? What kind of answers would you want to expect?
Right. So I think what you're getting at, Matt, is the most important thing is the desire to be involved. And it shouldn't really be a novel desire. I mean, that's the nature of our democracy. I think our founding fathers assumed that people would participate and would want to be involved. And, when you look at democracy as a system of government, it's the one that, really requires the most participation, obviously, by the people. So, but I think what your first question gets at is, number one, you need to be informed about what the issues are, local, state, national, even global. So I think that's a good first step for anybody who has a desire to be more involved, but is, thinking about how to build up that level of participation. I would be, step one would be just understand your environment. Wherever you want to get engaged, is it local? Is it state? Is it national? What are the sources that could inform you? We talk a lot about these days, maybe the media slanted this way or that way, but I think in reality there's all kinds of sources out there, and people can, they're there to be found. I mean, objective news sources, and so you find those that you think work for you, and that's step one. It can be a national newspaper, it can be a website, it can be podcasts. Not when it happens, but later on, or something like that.
Let me ask you a question about that, though. Mm-hmm. What do you do to sift through the information sources? What do you do? Do you have a process that you look at an information source and say, okay, I've got to cross-reference, I've got to check it? At what point do you say, or what do you do to find out, I trust this agency or this news source with information? Do you have, a checklist of things to go through?
And in my case, there's some sources I've been using, for 35, 40 years, that are just have been out and are good sources. I mean, I personally like things like PBS NewsHour. I mean, it can be dry, but, they do good in-depth coverage of things. I look at things like New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal are all good for national news. I mean, we tell our students at the newspaper, at the War College, they need to be informed Even if they're not making decisions as military officers, they're advising our leaders, and it's important to know what our leadership reads. So if you're interested in national politics, the informed elite follow the national newspapers, which nowadays the top ones would be New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal is national newspapers. You know, USA Today has kind of worked its way in there as a respectable paper out there in the country. LA Times, Dallas Morning News, you know, the big regional papers, Chicago Tribune, mm-hmm. you know, this and that. Everybody's got digital versions now, so you don't have to be in those cities. I have XM radio, so you can turn into, you know, great things just while you're driving around, whatever it is, BBC, CNN, you know, stay informed.
Sure.
Nationally, you know, and internationally, as far as that goes.
Okay, so what we've gotten down to is figure out where you want to get involved and then use agencies, some type of information system to glean and gather information to enhance your knowledge of it so that you can work better doing whatever you're going to do. And what
right. And I would say if a source is new to you, then, you know, you check it out. I mean, there's no better critic than yourself, you know. So if you follow a source for a week or two and you think it's slanted or you think there's some issue with it, then I'd be looking for another source. But people also need to understand that newspapers edit their news sections separately from their, you know, opinion and editorial sections. So there may be more opinion, you know, in one part of the newspaper, but maybe the front part of it, if it's a good newspaper, should be, you know, just good objective reporting. And if you see that it's not, you know, then I would look for another source.
All right, Doctor, due to the lack of time here, let me go to the next question then. Do you support, this would be something we would ask somebody, do you support party organizations at various levels? Do you support candidates for office who would promote the mm-hmm. common good? Have you considered running for office yourself? What would you say to that?
Right. I think when we were talking about these questions, we were thinking about it in terms of people say they want to get involved. Well, okay. I mean, how do things happen in our country? The way our system is organized is that, you know, party politics do have a lot to say, you know, at every level, local, state, national. The people who hold national offices, you know, through parties, that's not where they started. I mean, they probably started somewhere locally in their party organization and, you know, served well there, won elections at a local level, and they, you know, in most cases worked their way up, you know, through state, and then, you know, at some point they want to run for Congress, and this and that. So, you know, things happen. You know, if the government is the route for change, then I think getting involved in party organizations is a good way to do that. Of course, there's other ways to make an impact in your community that aren't necessarily, you know, through the government. And that's another thing we talked about is just general civic engagement. And American political culture has a good reputation for Americans just join groups. You know, people come over. We have a lot of international students at the War College, and they're usually amazed at how much Americans do just on their own, you know, whatever it is, like a Rotary Club or, you know, volunteering for their kids' sports teams. I mean, we take that for granted, but just making those social associations, not only can that impact the community in and of itself, but that can form, that can lead to relationships in your society, which that you can then build on for political change. You know, it's those associations amongst your community that maybe you then transfer those interests into what's going on with the actual politics mm-hmm. In your area. So, I mean, that being a citizen first, you know, and then you build on that through more formal participation.
So basically,
and, you know, if people are, if they think they have the skill set to run for, you know, run for office, then they should. And then if our associates, we think they'd be good at you know, in a particular office, then we should support them and support those campaigns.
So bottom line is we need to get off the couch, get, you know, active participants in society, build our networks of people, learn what's going on and then apply all that information and keep going forward on the discussion that we're talking here about.
Right.
So
absolutely. The famous saying, which your listeners have probably already heard, but you know, they say that democracy is not a spectator sport.
That's right.
You can't stand on the sidelines. And if it's all about what's wrong with those, you know, everything's all, you know, not the way we want it to be, well, okay, what are we doing about it, you know, wherever we can, you know, plug into that.
Yeah, I'm
you know, just look at the voting rates. We know for, you know, local elections, I'm sure it's not that different in Texas, anywhere else, it's pretty low voter turnout.
It's very low.
Even in the best, you know, it's only the presidential elections that we get our highest voter turnout. Even there, it's barely over 50%. And that's of the registered voters.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know? So
you've got this small
group.
So
it's got a long ways to go. People say, well, that's because no, everybody's happy, so don't bother. But, you know, not necessarily.
There's an expression I say all the time on my radio show. It's the I cube quotient. Not the IQ, but I cube. And it's the three segments are, the first I is informed, but it's broken down into two parts, active, informed and active, or informed and sedentary, not doing anything. Then you have the ignorant, and then you have the idiots. So being a spectator sport, being a spectator in democracy, like you said, it's not going to work. You've got to be a participant, and you've got to...
Right, and I would throw another combination, could be ignorant and active. That's probably not good either.
Well, that's true. Or idiot and active. We don't want that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next one. With regard to civic culture demonstrated in the level of civic participation, do you participate in social groups? Like, we just discussed that, didn't we?
Right, we discussed that. But, you know, again, you don't take that for granted. There have actually been some studies in political science to show that we're not actually as connected in our civic groups as we used to. You know, say a generation ago, a lot of this has to do with everybody working and this and that. There's just maybe not the time for it. But that's something we should think about, you know, a second and third order effect of you know, really pursuing, you know, these very busy family life and this and that. Just examine, is that really the balance we want? And can we, you know, put some time in there for our, you know, community participation and these various levels of civic organizations we talked about, which may or may not be directly political.
Doctor, let me ask you something. I didn't ask you this before. Just you said something that made me think about it, and that is we've got an influx of a lot of people coming into the country, and it doesn't seem like they assimilate to the country. They bring their own way of life, and it loses the patriotism for this particular country and what that flag represents. Do you see that as a problem? As to how it gets diluted?
You know, I like... I've been following a lot our the papal visit this week. I'm in Pennsylvania. Pope just arrived, following some of his message. I kind of like the tack he took with his address to Congress the other day, where he says, you know, we are a continent of immigrants. He comes from South America. So I think we have to remember our core kind of identity as a nation of immigrants. At the same time, you know, there's a different, the government's role is to regulate that. And so we do need, and we've been kind of stalled on that in Congress lately. Both sides say they want to do something. So I think it's time that they do figure out, you know, what is that balance between security and maintaining this open, kind of the open door that we've had traditionally, balancing those things. And then at the same time, you know, as a society, separate from government, you know, being welcoming of those that are here. Again, at the War College, we talk a lot about power and national power. And really, if not for immigration in our country, even, you know, in recent years, we'd have a declining birth rate. Some trouble in our economic competition.
Well,
I would just advise, you know, my take on it is avoiding any kind of extreme position, you know, one way or the other, and, you know, figure out how to leverage as a country the fact that people want to come here. I mean, that shows our soft power.
Well, sure, sure.
Strengths we have.
Doctor, I understand that.
You know, and then just to balance all those factors, you know.
What I was trying to get at, though, was...
The best we can. And that's part of our political activism, you know. It's our elected leaders' responsibility to solve some of those problems, but we need to demand, you know, maybe some better, you know, more attention paid to get the balance, because we probably don't have it. Right now,
Dr. Ulrich, I'm going to have to. We're getting close to the point where I've got to stop. And I've got no issue with the immigration people coming here because we are a country of immigrants. My point was that we have such a large influx at one time, it doesn't get a chance to assimilate, and it causes problems. That's all I was trying to say. But Dr. Before, in the next 30 seconds, is there anything you'd like to say to finish up this this interview that can help somebody out there or motivate them to do something?
Well, I think you kind of hit the main points. It's first of all, being informed is number one. They're listening to your show. They have a desire to be informed. But then, you know, just put that with action. I'd say it almost doesn't matter what the action is, because I think one step will lead to another. But, you know, just an expectation of citizenship, and, you know, we get a lot out of the country. So everybody, you know, I live with this life every day. I'm at the Army War College. Everybody either works for the government or is in the military, you know. Right. So this ethic of service is second nature in my orbit, but I think we can extend that, you know, the rest of the population. They need to know how to do it. They need to be asked to do it. And then I think they'll respond. And there shouldn't be a divide between our leaders, our political leaders, and the citizenry. It's not They don't do the work for us. You know, we're all doing it together. They are our representatives. You know, right. It doesn't mean we have you know, delegated all responsibility to them. So,
well,
really, any first step will be a good first step.
Dr. Ulrich, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it, and thank you for your insight. And hopefully maybe sometime in the future we can get you back on. But once again, I want to thank you for that. We're going to have to move on. So I'll say goodbye to you now, and we'll talk later. I appreciate you.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Matt.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a great interview. What we're going to do, though, I think we're going to take a quick minute break, and we're going to come back, and we'll have our next guest on from Blackjack Firearms, who will be helping us do a product demo. And we'll also talk to him and see what's going on in his world. So we'll talk to you in just about another minute. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host, and we're coming back from an interview with Dr. Ulrich, which was very good, and we're now here with John Ferguson from Blackjack Firearms. You always keep hearing me talk about John and his shop, and I go across the street, and there he's got all his goodies, and I'm looking at it. Well, I finally got him on. If you can see me in video land, here he is, okay? Finally got him here. He's a world traveler, and it's very hard to pin him down, so we got him here. So what I'm going to do, John, say hi.
Hello, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm going to read a quick bio because I asked John to give me a quick bio or a short bio, and he's true to form. He gave me a short bio, so I'm going to read it, and he's going to add on to it if he wants to. John Ferguson, partner with Steve Husher at Blackjack Firearms. John grew up south of Houston and served 21 years in the Army. Thank you, sir. During his time in the Army, he was stationed in Korea, Maryland, Germany, and Fort Hood. He served three tours in Iraq, two with 4th Infantry Division and one with the 504th Battlefield Surveillance Brigade. In 2011, he and Steve started Blackjack Firearms to build custom ARs. Yes, John, I do want more than that. So tell me, you're here now. Give us a little bit more information. What the heck's going on? What started this? What's your direction? And then we'll talk about some products.
All right. Well, Steve also is an 11-year veteran of the Marine Corps. So between the two of us, we had a lot of experience with M16s and other firearms, and we really enjoyed the AR platform. And we decided that between our experience, we could develop some rifles that met the criteria that we knew were important. When you pull the trigger, it has to go bang, and you have to be able to hit your target.
Very good. Okay? That's two very important things for sure.
You know, we're not trying. We can build tack drivers. We've done that for people, but that's not our goal. Our goal is reliability, and basically, for lack of a better word, battlefield accuracy.
That's what I want to get at. You guys have been in the box. You know how those things work under severe conditions.
Correct.
So taking that expertise and the ability to put guns together and knowing what to foresee in the future for problems, you can hopefully take all those out of the equation, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would bring in here some of his rifles, and they're just great. I mean, there's different aspects of them, different parts, different materials, and he takes all that into consideration. So, on those guns, John, I'll tell you what, before we get in the product demo, is there anything particular about your guns? You've got a basic gun line. Just tell me about that. Why do you feel that that's superior to another person's basic gun line?
Well, our basic rifles come with one major modification that most people consider a major upgrade, and that's we use the nickel boron bolt carrier groups or black nitride bolt carrier groups. These bolt carrier groups are a frictionless type finish and makes it very easy to clean and helps with reliability.
I noticed that because when you turned me on to that and I saw it and you told me all the benefits of it, I'm like, that's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And so I've gotten a few and I use them, and it definitely is, one, easier to clean. You can tell it's a lot slicker, so mm-hmm. That's a great advancement. So that's all your standard line?
All of our standard line are now coming with those bolt carrier groups. We've worked over the years trying to figure out what works best. We've mm-hmm. come to the conclusion that those are phenomenal products.
One other thing, though, about that. Don't you have the upper receiver?
We have uppers. We do. Some of our upscale rifles will have the upper also coated in nickel boron. We also do trigger groups coated in nickel boron. If you get all those options, it adds some to the price, but it also,
Let me ask you this, then.
Those things don't fail.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, I was going to put you on the spot. In your opinion, compared to a normal standard bolt carrier group in an upper, what is your, if you're using standard ammo, military ammo, can you give any idea of malfunction time compared to one over the other?
I've gone through up to 400 or 500 rounds through a rifle and never had a malfunction. And when I take out the bolt carrier group, anybody who's been in the military knows that you're in there scraping the bolts. Spend hours in the arms room doing that, you're not doing that. It's at that point, it's heated up enough that the carbon is dried on the bolt, mm-hmm. but I flake it off with my fingernail.
Wow, that's
and,
pretty cool.
Yeah, so I mean, I've never had a malfunction.
Can they get all that information on your website, bjfirearms.biz?
Yes.
Go to bjfirearms.biz, check it out. We're brief here on time, so all this information is given you. Go to the website. You can even find his number, call him there, check out your ARs, clean off that carbon too. Mm-hmm. But right now, John, we're going to merge these two together. Instead of me doing your product demo, okay, I'm saying, John, I want this part to show people. We discussed in the last few weeks, the forearm, the handguard, and all the stuff that can attach to that. Then we went down to our pistol grip. We did single sling adapters. Now we're at the buttstock. So why don't you take it away, show us from cheapest to most expensive, basic to most advanced type of stocks you got.
Okay. One of the most popular lines of accessories for the ARs is built by Magpul. Okay. They make all sorts of grips, stocks, mm-hmm. and forearms. The beauty of the AR is I've heard it called Barbies for men. It's you can accessorize this thing as all sorts of ways. So when you got the stocks, you got the standard stock on the AR. Well, a lot of people want to personalize their rifle.
Right.
Okay. So you can start out with the Magpul Mo, the MOE. This stock is a basic lightweight stock. It comes in black, flat dark earth, or OD green, and gray.
Can I pause you for a second? Mm-hmm. MOE, what does it stand for? Do you know, or am I putting you on the spot?
Putting you on the
spot. But he's honest. We're in video land here, too, so show them in the video and then make mention of how this is different. This,
right.
The locking mechanism is different.
Yeah, the Mo has a single latch that for moving your stock back and forth on the carbine-linked gas or buffer tube.
Okay. Yep.
The CTR is the next upgrade for that. The CTR has a lock. Not only does it have the latch that allows you to move the stock back and forth, right. But it has a lock that when you squeeze that, it keeps the stock rock solid. It's not going to rattle. It's not going to move around it.
That's a nice feature.
Okay. The next step up from the CTR is the STR. Okay, the STR has the same features as the Mo and the CTR. It's got the latch. Also has compartments on the side that you can store batteries or oil or any other items you want.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about this, too. And, John, you're well aware of this, being in combat and all that. But the more junk you have hanging off that rifle, if you've never been in a swamp with an AR, okay, you don't understand how quick things catch on you.
Right.
So I see these ARs with flashlights sticking out 3 inches, scopes that have all these different offset sights. It's just a bunch of stuff that gets caught. So when we're looking at this stock here, he's keeping it slim and trim, but he's still enabling yourself to get extra equipment like batteries and whatever else you want to put in there.
Right. You can put little vials of oil in there for cleaning the weapon. The other benefit is the stock, because of the compartments for the oil and the batteries, gives you a cheek rest.
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of people...
If you can't see it, everybody, it flares out. So as you're leaning your head over, it'll flare out either left or side. It's ambidextrous. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
So a lot of people like that as an upgrade stock because of the cheek rest. They don't like the fact that the most of the AR stocks are very narrow. And so this one gives you a little bit of room to...
But it does eliminate... You don't have the ability to put your strap up on top, though, and that's what I'm noticing there.
That is true. You don't, but it does have this little ring on the side.
Explain that.
They've got, because the Mo and the CTR have these two positions up here where you can put a sling, the STR has a little ring adapter here, and you've got a single point QD ring that snaps into it.
Right.
And then you can attach your sling with that or as a single point or... you can do the 2 or 3 points.
And the quick detaches are nice, too. In case you got to get out of your system real quick, just push the button. Off she comes. Okay, what else?
Okay, the next one is the ACS. The ACS has built-in cheek rest. It's not as big as on the STR, so it's a narrower one. So if you don't want something that's as wide as that, because those cheek rests actually stick out wider than most ARs other than the forward assist. But it does have a compartment on the side where you can actually store items as well, batteries
and
stuff.
That's pretty nice. Let's show that on video here. If you'll notice, okay, we're going to put that last dock you had up here. It's basically the same, except it was wider up on top. Let's get a shot like this. From left to right, it's wider than, which one is this called?
The ACS.
ACS. It's a little thinner, but if you'll notice, the storage compartments were up on the sides here. This one's got a trap door. I personally like the trap door because it is connected. It does not separate from the stock. This one's separated from the stock, didn't it? When you pulled it out?
Yes.
Okay, so if something happens and I take the part out from, and John, help me, what's this one?
That's the STR.
STR. When you pull the plug from the STR, if something happens, you get bumped and it drops on the ground. There it is. It's on the ground. You got to go searching for it. On this one here, though, it's hinged. So when you open up your compartment, the door stays on the stock, and you can't lose it. That's what I was talking about last time when we were talking about pistol grips. I don't like the plug version where you pop the hook and the whole plug comes out. I like the trap door version where I release the spring and the bottom of the trap opens, but it stays connected to my pistol grip. So that's why I like this one here, too. So you've got lots of options. You said they come in different colors?
Yes. They come in black, gray, flat dark earth, and olive drab green.
And all the other Magpul accessories will match those colors?
Correct.
Okay. And something like... I got two more left.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right.
He's so prepared.
So we got two more stocks. Now, these are going into the more upscale. Most of these other stocks, from the MOE up to the ACS, you're talking... price range is anywhere from about $36 to about $80. Okay. Now we're going into the high-end Magpul stocks. Okay. This is the PRS. It's a precision rifle shooting. Okay. This stock is for rifles, not for carbines. Okay, so you have to have a rifle-length tube on it.
Okay.
Okay. The beauty of this stock is it is fully adjustable. You can adjust for cheek rest and for length of pull.
Very good.
So you can, if you need a stock that's a little bit longer, then you can adjust. You can slide out the back and
so this is for this is for precision shooting.
Precision shooting, right? Okay. The last stock we have is the UBR. Now this is the highest end of the Magpul line. Okay, this stock requires its own buffer tube. Okay, so it is unique from all the rest of them.
Okay.
Okay. The beauty of this stock is that when you, it slides back, it's got six positions. Okay, just like a normal stock. However, you can go in and set this one where you want your furthest extension to come back to.
So you don't have to keep jiggling around finding the spot.
Right. If you always know that it's most comfortable for you to fire at position four rather than position six.
Six, right.
Then you can set this so that's as far back as it goes.
I do that all the time. I'm like, okay, I'm at four. I got to click all the way out and count one, two as compared to counting four.
Right.
So, okay, great.
So this one you can set like that. It's a little bit heavier stock. A lot of people who are going to go for a lightweight rifle don't like it. But this stock is also... there are things you can do to make it a little bit lighter. It's got a compartment that's got both sides that you can take off the hinge cover on one end and the back plate on the other. Open it up, makes it a little, takes a little bit of weight out of it. You can do a little bit of things, but
and you can put that on either rifle or carbine.
Yes,
because it comes with its own tube.
You have to put your own buffer tube on it.
Okay,
so it'll go with either
one. That looks pretty good.
Yeah. So, but like I said, where the other stocks. Going to cost from like $36 to $80. PRS, we sell these for $220, and the UBR sell for $240.
I'll tell you, everybody, I've seen these guys put some stuff together. It looks pretty darn nice. Prices are pretty good, too. You need to go to bjfirearms.biz and check them out. Give them a call. If you've got an AR already and you want to trick it out, they can do that. If you haven't got one yet, they can tell you. I was telling you this before. It's almost like a menu. What do you want? What are you going to use it for? I've got this. I've got that. So give them a call. BJFirearms.biz, Blackjack Firearms. This is John. And John, time is clicking away, so I'm going to have to move to the next segment. But this is fantastic. Just hang tight, and we'll enjoy it. So everybody, once again, John Ferguson from Blackjack Firearms. Check him out at BJFirearms.biz. All right, we're going to move on. I've got to do a gun demonstration. This is a very important gun demonstration. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to say it at one time so I can hear it at the studio. What do you do when you get a weapon? What's the first thing you do? I'm listening. That's right. You're going to check to make sure it's not loaded. So the magazine is out already. I'm going to pull the slide to the rear, check the chamber, check the magazine well. This weapon is now clear. Now, we're going over mag changes. Let me get my notes here because I'm not going to miss a beat. The mag change, there's two different types. There's an emergency change and then the tactical mag change. The emergency mag change is where you're completely out of ammo on your mag. The tactical mag change is when you have time or there's a lull in the fighting and it's safe to do a mag change. So we're going to do that first. Now, I've got my mag set up here with dummy rounds. And let me get them in order. And let's show you on video land. And let me try to explain it verbally what's happening here. The gun has its magazine in. It's chambered. I pull the trigger. Bam. I'm in combat or whatever. I'm out of ammo. All of a sudden, the slide locks to the rear, and I'm out of ammo. And I go, oops, I need some more ammo. Well, the magazine released, and what you want to do, and what I forgot to mention is, you want to see what your gun does when you release the magazine. This particular gun is almost like spring-loaded. When I press the magazine release button, hopefully you'll see this on video land, the mag comes right out. So I'm going to take that and use it to my advantage. So when the gun runs out of ammo and the slide locks to the rear, I'm going to pop the magazine out and keep the weapon indexed in my view, and I'm going to grab for my other magazine that is full. I am then going to insert the mag, drive it home, drop the slide forward, and I'm ready to go. That was an emergency mag change. I ran out of ammunition. I now reloaded. Now, in the course of shooting, let's say I've got to keep shooting, and I cap a few rounds out of that magazine, and all of a sudden there's a lull in the activity. I've got like, okay, I'm hyperventilating here, the adrenaline's pumping, I didn't count my rounds, I don't know how many rounds I got left in the mag, so we're going to do a tactical reload. And once again, I've got another mag already reserved here in my mag pouch. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop my mag and hold it in my shooting hand. This is what I do. There's different techniques, but I kind of swing it around and hold onto it with my pinky as my fully loaded mag comes out of my mag pouch, goes into the mag well, and then I put my partially used mag back in my mag pouch or my dump bag or something. But what was nice about that tactical reload, if you can envision this, when I shot the gun a few times and I lost count, I still had ammunition in the gun, but I just didn't know how much. So what I did was I took the mag out, but I still had a live round in the chamber. God forbid if something happens and the mag's out of the gun, at least I got one shot left to take care of business. So remember that. When I'm doing a tactical reload, that means there's one still in the chamber. I'm taking the mag out, and I'm putting in a fresh mag, this particular gun, 8 rounds, and one in the chamber. So now I've got 9 rounds, and I can maybe reload, top off the mags, or get a quick count of what I've got left so I'm not out there wondering, hey, do I have enough ammunition to get through this fight? Okay, so there's two different ones here. We've got the emergency one, and I'll do it one more time. You got the emergency mag change. That's where the gun is fired, boom. All of a sudden, she's out of ammo. The slide locks to the rear. I go, oops, index it, drop the mag, put in the new mag, drop the slide forward, and I'm ready to go. I start shooting again. There's a lull in the shooting. I've got time to assess, see what's going on. What I'm going to do is a tactical mag change. I'm going to get the mag that's partially shot, hold on to it, take out the new mag and slap it home, and now I'm topped off with 8 in the mag and 1 in the chamber. So that is what we call mag changes when it comes to emergency and tactical mag changes. Hopefully on the video, hopefully the videos will be up pretty soon and you'll be able to check that out. That's a really good thing to learn on how to do it. And I really want to talk about indexing the weapon in combination with these mag changes. So if you want to get in-depth training, I would highly recommend you give us a call. Go up on the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. We've got seminars that go over all this stuff. It's advanced training. You'll leave the class thinking, my gosh, how did I get along without knowing this stuff before? Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about another product demo. I have my other friends at Centex Tactical Gear in Temple. I've told you this many times, they've got a store, it's like candy for adults. You go in there and you turn left and you just walk through the aisles, and there's so much stuff there for the fireman, for the police officer, military guy, prepper, basic civilian, whatever. They got so much stuff in there that you almost go broke because you're like, I need this, I need this, and I need this. A lot of fun. But what I've got here is I was looking around and I noticed the water filtration area, and water is so important. If you don't have it, you're going to die like within 3 days. So what I did was I gleaned off their shelf four different items pertaining to water. And I'm going to kind of talk about them in their level of importance or in their level of need. And let me start off by doing this. I've got a water bottle here. I think you pronounce it like this. An Oco water bottle, 650 milliliter bottle, NASA filtration technology. And if you see it here on the video, it's just a basic water bottle with a nice filtration system on top. And the reason I say this might not be as important as one of the other ones I'm going to show you is because I get the impression I've got time. I'm not under duress. I just want to get my water purified. So this is a great bottle. Let me read a few things on it real quick. It works in over 140 countries, includes a chart for water conditions worldwide, 100-gallon filter capacity. That's about 2 cents per refill. The filter cap actually lets you see the filter in action. It's an FDA-compliant bottle and filter materials. Large mouth bottle for easy refills. Dishwasher safe, and it's non-toxic. And in 2013, the lab tests reflect 99.999% effectiveness against common waterborne bacteria. So if you're looking to get some type of water bottle, Centex Tactical Gear in Temple on West Adams, they've got this kind of stuff. So here's a picture of it on the video. Give them a call or go to their website, centextactical.com. Now, the next one I want to go to, I would put this in order of importance, would be this water packet. It's emergency drinking water in like a foil packet. And what I like about it is it's small and compact. It's only 4.227 ounces to be exact. And you don't have to go through the procedure of filtration, but in case you do need water, you do have it in this packet. And the packet, I don't know, looks like about a 4 by 6 inch bag. And it's Coast Guard approved. Pretty cool. It's only 75 cents a bag. I mean, you can go there and get a whole bunch of these and store them in your bug out bag, backpack, or whatever. What I like about them is they're small, skinny, and I can put them in the little nooks and crannies of my pack. The next one, I've got purification powder. I've used things like this before, but what this is called chlorflunk water purification, used by the U.S. Army. It eliminates giardia, bacteria, and viruses. And what's cool about this, I'm going to show it to you on the video too, and I'll explain it to you on the radio. When you pull it out of the box, it has 30 packets that are inside a camouflage little zipper bag. And when you open up the bag, if I was to take out two of these packets will work for like a quart of water. And what you do is you just rip open the tiny packets and you shake in the powder into the water, and you're going to stir it up for about 7 minutes. Let it settle, swirl it around. You're going to read the directions on the back. And then the very last thing you want to do with it is put it through a cotton strainer of some sort just to get any type of little clumps of the powder out of there, and then the water's ready for drinking. But you got to work a little bit to get the water purified. So here's another packet when it comes to water purification. And the last one, this is one I would put as the critical one or just very convenient one, but I consider this like, hey, I'm on the run, I gotta go, I'm just gonna grab something for water filtration. It's a Frontier emergency filter. It's basically, if you can see it on the screen, a gray cylinder of about maybe 3 to 4 inches long, and it comes with a straw. So basically, you put the straw in the filter, and you literally could go down to a water puddle and just start sucking up the water from the puddle, and it's gonna go through the filtration system, and you got drinking water. So this is one of those quick things, or very portable things, or last ditch effort type of water filtration systems that would be good to have. And once again, Centex Tactical Gear, my friends over there, Elliot and Jessica, they got all sorts of stuff like this, lots of it. So go check them out there today, or go to their website, CentexTacticalGear.com. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate though on some things that are coming up. Once again, tomorrow's class, CHL class at the shop in Cameron, Aaron's Gun Shop. We've got a CHL class at 2 o'clock. Course fee is $60. It's a five-hour class. We'll do all the necessary requirements that the state requires to get you your CHL 100 form. Also, don't forget the big event on October 10th. That's going to be at the gun show. We're going to have a live show at the gun show. We're celebrating open carry. We're going to have calendars there for sale with lovely ladies and lovely guns in the calendar. Some of the ladies will be there to sign the calendars and talk to you and say hi. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com. There'll be a lot of details there, information coming up. Go ahead and sign up for one of our seminars, our CHL classes. Give us a call with any questions that you have, and we can answer it for you. Plus, also, the other page, too, I'd like you to go to is the Gallery of Gun page. We've got a lot of great guns on there, and the prices are very good. It shows you pictures, details of what we have to offer, and you can actually order the gun right there online. It'll be shipped to me, and you can do your paperwork at the store. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up another week. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. And next week, of course, we're going to be going over the basics. We'll go over more CHL information, more product demos, more gun demonstrations, commentary, and a whole bunch more. So until then, have a great day. Keep your powder dry, and God bless.